pinch your neighbor and say that right now. Don't delay your desert exit. You see, if you are longing for the past, you're going to get stuck in the present, and the future is always going to be just out of reach. This is the thing about desire. Desire propels me in the direction of the object of my desire. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, we pray that your will for our lives will be done. Not just in the next season, but in this season. Father, let your will be done. Let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Right now, I just want to invite you just to shut your eyes, put your hand on your heart. Thank you, Lord God. Father God, I come before you. I yield to you. I submit to your plan and your purpose for today. Lord God, would you use these lips of clay to breathe life by your Spirit? And right now, with your eyes shut and your hand on your heart, just pray to the Lord. Just say, Heavenly Father, my heart is open to you. Speak to me. Your servant is listening. Do something new in me that will lead me out gloriously. And it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a big shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise. Hallelujah. Let me give you a challenge. Do you know one of the things we can learn? We've got an opportunity right now. You know, when times are tough, you have an opportunity. I remember one of my darkest hours when Abby was born, which sounds like a very unkind thing to say. Abby, my beautiful daughter. But when she was born, she was flat. In other words, no signs of life. And she was that way for, what was it, about an hour, 2 hours. It was not until I had given birth for 2 hours that I was told that my child was alive. But I had an opportunity. Say out loud, I have an opportunity. You see, when times are tough, you discover who you are. And I remember in that moment. And, you know, I'm going to be real with you. I'd been in labor all night long. My husband and I lost our first child, so we'd seen death. We knew what it was to lose a 2-year-old daughter. And so in that moment, I'm going to be real, I wasn't full of faith. I didn't have faith in my heart in that moment. My husband, she was born on a Sunday morning, and my husband texted every pastor he knew, and there were thousands of Christians praying. I didn't have faith in that moment, but I had an opportunity. Let me explain. In that moment, I remember just saying to God, Father, I don't know whether she will live or die, but one thing I do know, because the devil tried to touch our family again. The devil will regret this. I will pray more and people will get saved. I had an opportunity in a dark hour to not start bargaining with God. You know, there's times but there's times just to say, I'm not going to bargain and say, if you'll do this for me, I'll do that for you. There's times to just say, you know what? I'm going to praise anyway. Now, this is the opportunity. We get to praise now like we would if you... I want you to imagine, what's the greatest news you could have received right now? What's the best phone call that you could have just got? What's the greatest email or contact from someone? Has everyone got something in mind? Right now, I want you to give God some praise right now where we are. Thank you, Jesus! We praise you, Lord! Hallelujah! Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What an awesome God we serve. We don't wait for him to do something good, to praise him. We praise him because he is good. Hallelujah. Please take your seats. What an awesome God we serve. Hallelujah. I want to ask you a question, because the word that I use to describe the last year more often than not is unusual. Anyone else found it an unusual year? A little bit out of the ordinary. Not quite, you know, what you may have been expecting. Right. I want to ask you a question. What do you miss the most from the way that it was? What do you miss the most? And on the, if you're watching at home, just put in the chat, you know, what do you miss the most? Someone shout out, what do you miss? Yeah, mask-free life. Anyone else miss not wearing masks? What did you say you miss? Hugging people. I am such a hugger. And I keep going, at people, I'm like, it doesn't feel the same. Thank God for my dog. I hug him more than ever. What else do you miss? Someone else. You miss shopping. Who said that? It was a man. Alex, I miss shopping too. Oh, do you know what else I miss? I miss going to the hairdresser. Yeah, anyone else miss the hairdresser? Oh my goodness, I was like, what is wrong with this fringe? And then I have to cut it, or in America they call it bangs. Did you know that? I remember once going my fringe and everyone's looking at me, and someone shouted, bangs. I'm like, nah, mine doesn't bang. But anyway, you know, I keep having to do it, and my husband doesn't notice because he always says, do not touch your fringe, because there's times when I've gone, jump, and then he's like, oh my Lord, what's she done? And then normally a few days later he will notice and go, what have you done to your fringe? Anything else that anyone misses? Holidays. Oh my goodness. You are speaking my language, Ludi. I love holidays. I think I was born to holiday. Yeah. Anyone else born to holiday? Yeah. Great. Tell my husband. Let him get a revelation. You know, I miss aeroplanes. I miss them. You know, people used to say to me when I was traveling so much internationally, especially America. It's, you know, because I went to Miami a lot, that's a 10-hour flight. You know, I'd be going to, from. People say, how'd you do it? And you see, the thing is, God makes you and designs you for your purpose. And so, you know, I'd be like, well, no, you know, he's made me for this. And I miss aeroplanes. I miss crowded rooms. I really do. You know, I remember once watching a version of Waymaker on YouTube. And first of all, you know, the camera was on the speaker, on the singer, on the worship leader, and, you know, Waymaker. And then it suddenly panned across the crowd, and it was this packed room, about 20,000 people crammed in, and I just, like, tears filled my eyes. I was like, I want to be in a crowded room. You know, it's crazy the things that we can find that we miss. I miss my friends in other nations. You know, I miss my being able to just go see my mom, my 84-year-old mom, you know, and you know, for a long time, I would say throughout this period that started in the UK in March when we went into our first lockdown and suddenly all these restrictions were introduced, you know, there's lots of different things that I've missed. For a long time, I was longing to go back to the way that it was. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And I kept just thinking, oh, I just want to go back to the way it was. I just want things to go back to normal. Anyone else said that in this time? You know, I just want it to be normal. I want to be able to hug. You know, even like when I'm out on the streets running, because if it's really, really, really rainy, then I don't run in the fields because I just sink otherwise, you know, in the mud. And so I run on the streets, and you know, you're running down the pavement, and there's someone coming towards you, and you're like, who's going to duck into the road? Is it you or me? You know, and it's like, car's coming, who's going to do it? Ah, you know, and it's like, you know, chicken, woo! You know, and you're ducking cars here, people here, you know, crazy times. And for a long time, I was just longing to go back to the time when you didn't have to apologize if you accidentally entered someone's space, you know, more than a, you know, 2 meters, and you're in the, is this plus one, you know, one, what does one plus even mean? Like, does anyone wander around with a meter measuring rod? And then I read a verse. You know, sometimes scripture jumps out at you. How many of you have had scripture jump out of you? Sometimes scripture just pierces your heart. Has that happened to you? Nah, let me tell you what happened this time. This verse jumped out of the page and slapped me in the face. I was like, whoa! And I want to read it to you because we're going to go on a great journey today. Acts 7, 39, and it's just a few words in that verse. And this is when Moses, Stephen, was preaching about the people of Israel, about the time when they were in the wilderness. And he was talking about how Moses had led them during those days. And then Stephen referenced the hearts of the people of Israel. And this is what it says, in their hearts, they turned back to Egypt. In their hearts, they turned back. You see, that means that their bodies didn't turn back, isn't that right? And so if your heart is turning back somewhere, it means that your heart is longing. Your heart is craving for, it's looking to. That in your heart, you're just saying, oh my goodness, just let me go back. And you know, you think of the people in the wilderness. Does the word wilderness, you know, strike a chord at all? You know, they were in the wilderness. And so it was same old, day in, day out. Anyone been there? They had to eat the same food every single morning. I mean, I have to say, sorry, I think I'd have done fine on that. I have the same breakfast every single day. And every single day I look forward to it. And then if I had choose something else, I'd be so disappointed that I hadn't had my porridge with my almond milk. I've become like this anyway. Unsweetened almond milk, porridge, almonds, coconut. And I'm in Joe Heaven on earth while I eat it. And then it comes to an end. And I have to wait 24 hours for it all to happen again, unless I'm fasting. And then I have to wait a bit longer. So, yeah. But they were in the wilderness. Hot, searing temperatures. Freezing at night. Same clothes the whole time. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so something on the inside of them was just longing for just a bit of variety, longing to go back to the way that it was. Now, this is the thing. And in the Amplified, listen to what it says. In their hearts, they yearned for and turned back to Egypt. They yearned for and turned back to Egypt. You know, that word yearn. It means to have an earnest or strong desire. Say desire. You know, desire is something very powerful. We need to understand desire. And we need to make desire work for us and not against us. It's so important that we understand how to work with desire, because desire is something that God has placed in our hearts. We have a capacity to desire, and God uses that. You see, desire produces the perseverance and motivation that we need to push through. It's our year of pressing. into the blessing. The blessing is where we get our desire that enables us to press. Are you hearing me? And desire is very, very powerful and very, very important. It says in James 1, verse 15, it says, when desire has conceived, it gives birth. Now, in that context, the reference is sin, but it's the same mechanism. In other words, if I entertain desire after something that I know I shouldn't be entertaining, then that desire is going to grow on the inside. So let me give you an example. It was my son's birthday recently. And we wanted to just get a little cake because we're not really a big cake family. In other words, if we get a big cake, we'll all have some and really enjoy it. But we knew we needed just a little one. So we went and bought a lovely chocolate cake with Maltesers on the top. Is it sounding good? And yes. And then my son spotted it in the fridge a day before, and it was hidden. And he went, Mummy, that cake isn't for me, is it? Because you know I don't like chocolate cake. I was like, whoops. You know, you're supposed to remember what your son does and doesn't like. I've only ever baked 4 cakes in my life, by the way. Arosha, please don't chastise me. And I haven't baked a cake for about 20 years. I think the last one was your 30th birthday cake. Yeah, and my husband's still recovering. So we'll just stick with what we're good at, okay? And so, you know, Abby and I quickly went to the store and we got a lovely lemon drizzle cake and Benj was happy and all the rest of it. Anyway, the Malteser cake was still in the fridge. And so I'm thinking, let's give the cake away. But my husband has another idea. And we'd called February our kind of healthy February. We missed out on January. We just ate all the amazing food that we could and then thought, no, we need to now pull ourselves together. And so I thought, let's give it away. And my husband was like, no, and gave a lot of reasons why we shouldn't, you know. And then he says, oh, my love, I think it's time for us. He often does this. I think we need Malteser cake, don't we? I'm saying, oh, so my love, you're asking me to get you some cake. You know, don't be kind of grouping me in on this. And so anyway, I got the cake out of the fridge and, you know, cut it and brought him some. He's like, oh, that's a little more than I would have had. But anyway, he keeps seeing this cake and every time he walks past it, he ate a bit. Now, listen. You see, he was allowing desire to conceive and give birth. Are you catching it? What did I do? I didn't even taste that in my thoughts. How many of you know what I'm talking about? I refused to allow those Maltesers to melt in my mouth. I refused to kind of feast upon in my heart the glory of chocolate cake. Right, so are you catching the picture? So when desire is conceived, it gives birth. But here's the thing. It works both with the plans and purposes of God, and it works with the plans and purposes of the enemy. And so we have the children of Israel in the desert yearning for, desiring for the past. And what happened? They got stuck. They got stuck in the wilderness because the longing of their heart was trying to pull them back. You see, there is this amazing relationship between desire and hope. And we're going to get on to hope in a moment. But you see, we have to feed desire in order to nurture an atmosphere of hope on the inside. And hope produces faith. But you see, if your desire is behind you, then your heart is going to be pulling you backwards. Well, you can never go back. Have you ever noticed, however hard you try, you cannot turn the clock backwards? So if you try, you're not going to go backwards. Your heart will go there, but your body will stay stuck where it is. You know the story, I'm sure. A 10-day journey took the Israelites 40 years. Now, I'm not saying that longing to go back was the only reason, but I am saying that the reason it talks about it in Scripture is because it was definitely one of the reasons that got them stuck in the desert. Right now, I just believe that the Lord is speaking and he's saying, don't delay your desert exit. Turn to your neighbor and say that right now. Don't delay your desert exit. You see, if you are longing for the past, you're going to get stuck in the present, and the future is always going to be just out of reach. This is the thing about desire. Desire propels me in the direction of the object of my desire. Here's another one. If I desire the blessing that God's given to my brother, you see, which direction am I looking? How many of you, you've surfed through social media? How many people in the house are not on any form of social media? I just want to see your hands raised. No form of social media. One person in the house. Wow. All the rest are just a little shy to say so. How many times you've just scrolled through social media and you've seen the very blessing that you've been believing God for, the very thing that you've been saying, God, I'm believing you for that. And then suddenly on social media, the least deserving person on planet Earth has suddenly got your blessing. It's always the least deserving. How many of you that's happened to you? And you're like, what? Do you know what? Do you know what? You see, if I desire what's behind me, I'm going to get stuck because I'm looking that way. If I desire what God's given someone else, I'm still going to get stuck because I'm looking to the right or to the left. I'm looking at what God's given you and I'm saying, why didn't you give it to me? You know, envy is defined as discontent as a result of the opportunities of success afforded to someone else. And the Bible says that envy causes rottenness of the bones. So if I look at my sister over here, and I'm like, oh, but I want what they've got. You see, there's another way of responding. The very picture that God planted on my news feed to cause me to say, wow, hallelujah, look what he's done for them. God's faithful. And what he's done for them, he'll bless me. You see, desire. Envy is just desiring what God's given someone else. Looking back is desiring what's behind. But God is saying, my son, my daughter, I want you to make the object of your desire the very things that I've called you to walk in. The very plans and purposes and promises that I've given to you. Are you catching this? You see, when desire is conceived, it gives birth. So I want to ask you, what are you longing for? Some of you right now might say nothing. Might say, do you know what? I've lost my longing. I've lost the will to want. I feel kind of like I'm living one day at a time because dreaming feels like a risk. Dreaming feels like a hazard to my health because I can't handle my dreams being dashed. I'm not going to ask you to respond to this because I know the Spirit of God is speaking. But let me put it differently. This is something I feel at the moment like God has given me a message for the body of Christ. And it's epitomized in one statement. It's summed up in one statement that I'm going to make. And I really beg of you to remember this. Hope is not a risk. Hope is a requirement. Can I say that again? Hope is not a risk. Hope is a requirement. Do you remember I made a statement? Don't delay your desert exit. The way that we make sure that we get out on time is by making sure that our hope is functioning the way that God has called it to function. So what are you longing for? And you know, if right now you've lost your longing, your sense of desire has been dampened, that hope isn't the way it once was, I believe that the Lord is going to speak life into your hope generator today, that something's going to come alive on the inside, and that where there was once barrenness, suddenly you're going to be able to see with the eye of faith into what the Lord has ahead for you. You remember one of our core scriptures for last year, but also for this year, Philippians 3, in between verses 13 and 14, it says, forgetting those things which are behind. Don't look back anymore. Don't look back with longing anymore to the way things once were. Let me explain why we're going somewhere together. Your reference point for a great life is not your past. Your reference point for every sense of joy and purpose and fulfillment is not the past. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. Have you noticed pressing is a forward motion? If I'm pressing, I can't be doing, you know, the moment I look behind or to the side, I've got to stop pressing. Pressing is always a forward motion. Your blessing is ahead, not behind. The promises God have for you are ahead of you. Now, I want to read a pretty well-known scripture, Isaiah 43, verses 18 to 19. And it says, do not remember. Now, in the Amplified, that little bit, it says, do not earnestly remember. But I'm reading in the New King James. It says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. In other words, don't be trying to process what God's got in store for you by using the past as your framework for the future. Are you catching this? And it says, behold. Does anyone know what the word behold means? Anyone? See. Behold just means see. 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 It says, see. I will do a new thing. Shall you not know it? And it says, I will make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. Listen, behold, I will do a new thing. I'm not going to do an old thing. Are you catching this? He says, I'm going to do something new. I've got something new in store for you. And if you're longing for the old, then if I'm longing for the old, then I may miss the new. If I'm longing for the way things once were, then maybe I won't even have my eyes looking for the new. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? God is saying, I want you to see with the eyes of faith. I want you to set the object of your desire on my promises coming to pass. Let me give you some practical illustrations of this. You see, God's given me some promises, okay? And one of his promises is to do with the nations. He's spoken to both my husband and myself that we're called to the nations. The nations are calling. And he's promised us the nations. Nations shall come. Now, the scripture doesn't say you shall get on a BA 747 and fly from London Heathrow. Are you catching this? In other words, my focus can't be how God's going to bring his word to pass. My focus has to be on the fulfillment of his promise. Are you catching this? You see, the moment I'm going, oh, I want to be on an aeroplane. Why? No, I want to see the promises of God fulfilled in my life and in my generation. Are you catching this? What does it say? It says, behold, I will do a new thing. I will make a road in the wilderness. Now, first of all, road. What does a road speak of? A road speaks of movement. A road speaks of progress. A road also speaks of speed. You know, if you were trying to get from A to B, and you're either going across all sorts of ups and downs, or you're on a road, the road, you're going to get there faster. Isn't that right? So the road speaks of movement, of getting somewhere, of transport, of being taken from where you are to the place where God's called you to be. And he says, look, I'll make a road, but where's the road? In the wilderness. See, if I'm looking and saying, God, I want to go back to the way things are. And he says, Joe, I want to do something new, but I'm going to do it in the wilderness. Stop longing for something that I haven't promised and get your focus on laying hold of what I have in store. Are you catching this? He says there's going to be a road in the wilderness. You see, as a body, God is saying to us, he's saying, church, I want you to focus on the things that I've called you to. Don't be wishing away the season that you're in. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. What in this day? I will be glad in today. I'm not going to say, God, get me out of here. I'm not a celebrity, but do it anyway. No. You see, let's start instead to say, God, do the new thing. Show me what you want me to focus my attention on, my desire on. You see, when you get your eyes fixed on the right things, hope will arise. Suddenly, it isn't going to all be about when's lockdown going to end. It's going to be, Lord, what are you about to do in the middle of the wilderness? Have you ever seen a desert with a road in the middle? Wow. Anyone want to see that? You know, we got given a word 2 weeks ago from our pastor about acceleration. As we were in our half night, all night, some night, can't remember which night, he released a word. And he said, I see the Lord saying there's an acceleration coming to harvesters. An acceleration. That's a road. That's transport. That's movement. That's going somewhere. But it's what God wants to do. How he wants to do it. Do you remember I said at the beginning, we have an opportunity when times are tough. We can all love on God and kiss and cuddle the Lord. You know, that's what worship is. Just means kiss in Hebrew. You know, we can all be full of love and gratitude and adulation when we're on the top of the mountain. He's looking for a people who are going to say, do you know what, Lord? My shout of praise in the valley is going to be just as loud as my shout of praise on the mountaintop. My gratitude in the valley, in the wilderness, is going to excel my gratitude on my last mountaintop. Are you catching this? Hallelujah. Behold, I do a new thing. A road in the wilderness and a river. A river where? Listen, I'm not saying that we're not going to leave the wilderness. We are. The title of my message is Don't Delay Your Desert Exit. We are going to leave the wilderness. But you see, God's saying, I want to do something new in the wilderness. And I'm looking for a people who will believe me. I'm looking for a people who will pursue my promises today. I'm looking for a people whose focus isn't going to be, when is it all going to end? And instead is going to be, Lord, please help me to be sure that every character transformation that you want to do in me in this season happens. You know, I love it when I see people deliberately working on their character. I love it when I'm seeing change in myself. And one thing I've noticed recently in my son is him working on his character. I don't know if you've noticed. Yeah. You always need a bit of both, you know, the rod and the staff. I've noticed him watching his reactions. I've noticed him working on his willingness. I've noticed him wanting, you know, when we ask him to do something, not even a hint of, okay, but yeah, sure. And then when we remind him, rather than going, all right, I haven't forgotten, going, thank you for the reminder. I've watched him working on his character. We have an opportunity in the wilderness to work on our character. Let me tell you what God said to me a long time ago. He said, gift, this is what God said to me. Gift is what I do. Anyone got any gifts in the house? Yeah, you all have. How many of you know some of your gifts? I know I've got some gifts. But gifts is what God does. Nothing to do with me. Yeah, we need to be a good steward. Character is what you do. Wilderness is an opportunity to work on our character. You might think, well, where shall I start? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not easily provoked. I'm just picking on a few bits of love. Just start with those three. Patient, kind, and not easily provoked. Work on that for the next month. I mean, and, you know, or you can just ask God for your own little gift is what God does. My job is my character. You see, God is going to do a new thing. He's saying, I want to do a new thing right now. You remember that word that Prophet Sharon gave, and I played it about a month ago in the service. She said that in 2021, and I love it when a prophet names a date, you know, because a lot of prophetic words come without a date. And at least when there is a date, you can say, well, God, there's a date on this one. Say out loud, there's a date on this one. And I know that that's a human being, and human beings aren't, whatever that word is, infallible, thank you. But there was a word, and the word was that in 2021, there are going to be unexpected just blessings, suddenlies. You know what? And I believe that God is saying, I want you to be ready for your suddenlies. Prophet Nana many years ago said, it's better to be prepared for an opportunity than an opportunity arrive and you're not prepared. How do we get prepared before God? Lots of ways, but primarily character. So there is going to be a road in the wilderness. There are going to be rivers. Do you know, I heard Bill Johnson say something a couple of days ago. This wasn't my research, this was his. But he did a research of the whole of the Old Testament. Virtually every single reference to water in the whole Testament was clearly a type or a shadow of the Holy Spirit. Rivers. How many of you want a fresh outpouring of the Holy Spirit in your life? How many of you want to have new encounters, fresh touches of God? You know, one moment in the presence of God can change your life forever. One encounter when your eyes are shut, you don't know that there's anyone else in the room, and there might not be anyone else in the room. It's just you and Jesus, and you don't know how long you've been there. You don't know anything else except you've had an encounter in the presence of God. A road in the wilderness, rivers or springs in the desert. Janita or whoever, if you could, someone could jump on the keyboard. 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9. You see, the thing about the new thing is that we've never seen it before. We don't know what it looks like, which is why we have to look with the eyes of faith. The thing about the new thing is our past can't give us a framework for it. Only God's word can. You know, what are the promises that God has given for you? What are the things that you know year in, year out, he's promised to you? And he's saying to you, my child, let hope come alive on the inside. He's saying, my child, I'm the same God yesterday, today, and forever. I am able to do this new thing. In the desert, in the wilderness. Look at this. I heard the Holy Spirit speak this word afresh. eye has not seen. Why don't you stand to your feet? Nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Do you know the awesome thing about the Word of God? It doesn't have an expiry date on it. The Word of God isn't last season. The Word of God is in season, every season. And the Lord is saying, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Right now, I just want you to shut your eyes and lift up your hands and just say to the Lord, Father God, fill my heart with fresh hope. Help me to set my longing on your promises, on the new thing, and help me to focus my desire on the things which lie ahead of me. I give you all the praise. I give you all the glory in the precious name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Why don't you give the Lord praise?